expense of fully being Pentecostal and letting the Lord move. Amen. If anything, we as Pentecostals are to be the fastest growing, largest churches in America. Amen. Because it's through the moving of the Holy Spirit that lives can be changed. Amen. Now, I just, you know, I don't say this pridefully because we can sometimes get a sense that, well, we've got it, nobody else has got it. And I do see some other churches that are doing great things. But the bottom line is lives being changed? Are lives being changed? Amen. And I don't know about you, but my life is being changed. Amen. Amen. We're talking about going deeper in the Lord. Amen. Salvation. Say it. Salvation. Sanctification. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost. With the initial evidence of speaking in unknown tongues. I still believe you need to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Say it with me. Saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. I want you to turn in John chapter 1 and verse 12. And I want to, again, compliment the message that Pastor Jerry gave us this morning. And, you know, if he ever gets on fire, we might do something. Amen. I tell you what, he was on fire this morning. Amen. Praise God. Amen. He sung it down, shouted it down, preached it down. You got all you can get. And you can't ever say, well, the preacher at Westmoreland, if we had a really on fire, you got an on fire preacher. Amen. A lot of churches don't. I'm just telling you. Praise God. Praise God. Give the Lord an honor for that. Amen. Praise God. Stand with me tonight. John chapter 1. Always good to have Adam here tonight. And I think about that when I resigned the church at Smyrna, which was in my life, a catastrophe. I didn't want to resign. I had to resign, needed to resign for the good of the church. And I remember getting a Facebook message from a minister, a person I didn't know, and he sent me a friend request. And I always check to see who they are before I accept it, because you got to be careful, you know, of things on Facebook. And I realized that this was a pastor in South Carolina. And so I messaged him. I said, brother, do we know each other, or are you just sending me a friend request because we have like 150 mutual friends? And he said he was connecting with me because he was a fellow IPHC pastor. And so I asked him to pray for me. I was about to resign my church, and asked him to keep me in mind if he heard of any churches open down in South Carolina or wherever. And we developed a friendship through that. And over the weeks and months, as I began to seek for the next assignment, he would pop in and say, I was praying for you. And we would talk. And it took us, I guess, from July of 2016. I think we finally met each other a year later. Finally met each other face to face. It was in June the following year. Isn't it amazing the world that we live in? Developed a friendship and never seen or met the person. And so his name is Tim Nail, and he pastors the Lake City Pentecostal Holiness Church. And Tim Nail and I are pretty much the same age. And I'll tell you, he loves Pentecost just as much as I love it. And he actually pastors the church right there at the conference headquarters. Literally, the office of the South Carolina Conference is in his parking lot. And the tabernacle for the camp meeting is just a few yards over. And me and Pastor Jerry went down to a meeting they had back in January. So I guess I'm saying, I think about coming back here to Wilson, where I had pastored before, and then Adam is here and connecting with Adam. And Brother Adam was preaching down at Mount Olive, North Carolina, a couple of months ago, maybe a month ago, at another church. And my friend Timothy Nail saw his Facebook sermon and booked Adam for their next year's camp meeting youth service. And they'll have 200 people there, and 20 churches represented. And so I'm just, it's amazing how Tim Nail, Ricky Nelms, Adam Fulgham, Jared, it's amazing how God just puts like-minded people together. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Can we praise God for that tonight? You just never know what God is up to. You just never know what God is up to. Another person I met was Michael Harp from Virginia. I never knew that when I resigned the church that God would open doors that I never thought, never heard of these people, but God brought them into my life. In fact, I was reading the other night, He expands our borders. Amen. Tonight, I can tell you that I've got friends that I would have never met had I not gone through what I thought was not a pleasant experience, but God is in charge no matter what happens, and I wish I'd get somebody to say amen tonight. John chapter 1, 12 through 13. I do want to talk tonight about sanctification, and if you're there, would you say amen? And I sent Brother David the entire sermon, so he, bless his heart, he had to go through a lot to pull out the main points, but I just sent the whole thing to him, so I'm sure he'll be following along as best he can, and if he can, it's not his fault, it's my fault. But John chapter 1, verse 12, if you're there, say amen. But as many as, let's read it out loud, everybody together. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now I want to speak to you tonight on verse 12, the power to become. Say that with me, the power to become. And Father, tonight, thank you for the anointing to preach your word. I pray, God, that I would decrease, that you would increase, that the word of the Lord would have free course tonight. Lord, thank you for salvation. And tonight we focus on that great gift of sanctification again in this service, Lord. Open our ears, our minds, and Lord, for those who've never been sanctified tonight, Lord, may they come to that crisis experience to receive the power to become fully the sons of God. And Father, those who've already been sanctified, that we will continue on and grow on in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll give you the praise for what you're doing in all of our lives and at Westmoreland in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Turn around and tell somebody we're going deeper. Amen. I said we're going deeper. Amen. Now one more time, give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. The passage that we read from tonight primarily deals with the grand subject of salvation. It says in our passage tonight that to as many as received him. Say that with me. To as many as received him. And here we find the sweet simplicity of salvation. For you see, there are a lot of people who think if I'll try harder, or do better, or turn over a new leaf, when what you need is not a new leaf, but a new life. And the truth of the matter is that to be saved, you don't stop this and do that and try harder. You simply, as the scripture says, receive him to as many as received him. You do not do good to get God, but you get God to get good. And that is what is in our passage tonight. It's not do and do and do. Salvation is simply done, done, done. We simply receive him. And I want to ask you tonight, have you received Christ? Have you asked him and invited him into your heart? Have you surrendered to him as Lord? I do not believe that you can be truly saved without being truly repentant. I do not believe you can know him as Savior and not know him as Lord. Because even Paul said, "What will you have me to do, Lord?" We must surrender. And the way we surrender is we receive Jesus Christ. And I'm glad to know that if we come to him, according to John chapter 6 and verse 37, all that the Father giveth me will come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how sordid your sin is. I don't care if you couldn't keep on a diet. I don't care if you couldn't stop smoking. I don't care if you couldn't quit this or stop that. You just simply come as you are, and God loves you enough that he won't leave you like you are. You come, and as many as receive him, that's the simplicity of salvation. Would you give the Lord for a praise for salvation? I'm saved tonight. Turn around and tell somebody, I'm saved. Amen. But there's another truth that's not quite easily seen, tucked away in this very simple passage. At first glance, you might not catch it. But look again, go back to John chapter 1 and verse 12. Because I see not only in this passage salvation, I see the crisis experience of sanctification. Notice here again, but as many as received him. Now that is salvation. Then comma, to them. Who is them? Those who have received salvation. But to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. The power to do what he requires. The power to live in victory. The power to not just continually struggle and struggle, half-hearted, half-defeated. I believe that this passage is clearly teaching us that if you receive him, there is a power yet beyond initial conversion that enables you to fully become all that God wants you to be. I believe we see both experiences. The power to receiving him is salvation, but the power to become what God wants you to become after salvation is what we call sanctification. And I believe in this day and hour that it is so desperately needed, what we call sanctification. And what baffles my mind, and I do not understand it, the Pentecostal Holiness Church and most of the mainline Pentecostal churches one of the strong foundations was the second definite Pentecostal Baptist, the second definite work of grace called sanctification. At Azusa Street, William Seymour, the black minister. There was another minister by the name of Durham. I can't remember his name. I believe it was also William Durham. I could be wrong. And he said to Brother Seymour that we didn't need the second definite work of grace, that we get saved and then we can immediately get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the black minister said, it's false doctrine. And if you don't repent of that, you'll be dead in like 90 days. And unbelievably, William Durham died within 90 days. But later on, some of the people who heard him built another denomination based not on the second definite work of grace. And I know that's a lot of history I just threw at you this evening, but I'm just here to tell you that we were built on the foundation that you get saved and as many as receive him. Praise God, there's one more step. To them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Why don't you give him praise for it tonight? Amen. We were clearly built on that doctrine. And listen, in today's world, like never before, we should be preaching sanctification. We should be proclaiming. It should be part of the common knowledge of the average Pentecostal member that there is something beyond salvation. Why do you say that? Is salvation not enough? I promise you, salvation is enough to get you to heaven. And you don't have to keep a rule. You don't have to have another experience. If you get saved, like the thief on the cross, this day you will be with him in paradise. But it's not paradise that I'm worried about. It's the street out there I got to live on. It's Best Buy when I go to the break room. It's when I pass down and see the billboard of scantily clad women. It's the world that we live in. I need something to help me live in the nasty now and now. Thank God he's got me covered for the sweet by and by. But I got to face a world out there, and I can't do it in my own power. I've got to be saved and I got to be sanctified, because that's the power to become all that God wants us to be. Give him another hand of praise here tonight. Turn around and ask somebody or tell somebody, we're going deeper. Amen. Because I'm going to be honest with you. We live in a world of very, very addicted and broken people. We now, because of the internet, we have children at 8 years of age who've already viewed hardcore pornography, who've already taken hardcore drugs. We live in a society that is unchurched. Child molestation is at the greatest increase it's ever been. And so when a child comes into this church at 12 years of age, they have already drunk alcohol. They are already addicted to drugs. They certainly fight that image, that blistering images of pornography. But they come in the church and they know they need to be saved. And they hear the message that God will forgive them and there's no hope in this world. And they've been hurt and molested and bruised. And they come to Jesus and praise God. He takes them just like they are and He saves them. And what a glorious thing when He saves, like somebody said, from the guttermost to the... Amen, somebody. But when they get saved, the next day, they're back into that home. They walk by that computer. They ride the school bus. And they go to a classroom. And they're immediately bombarded. And sometimes they're tempted to think, I must not have gotten saved. But they feel a battle raging in them. They know something happened because they feel a temptation. Whereas before they just did what they wanted to do. And so all of a sudden, they get overwhelmed, and because they don't have a lot of depth in them, because we have very little preaching, very little teaching, they will find themselves pulled by the old nature and eventually back into that world system. I'm here to tell you, we've got to preach them saved, but we got to take them on, because that sanctification will absolutely be the answer to all of the addictions and the problems that come before the new birth. Let's preach it like never. Adam, preach sanctification. Tell your generation. I'm going to tell my generation. Pastor, tell your generation that there is power to become the Son of God. You can be victorious. There's something not only called salvation, but there's something. Tell those Royal Rangers that white stands for purity, and that means we didn't get it from the Assemblies of God, but we'll give it to them anyway. It means sanctification. Give Him praise here tonight. Ain't that right? We added sanctification to Royal Rangers. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, I want to give you four things tonight. What, why, who, and how. What, why, who, and how. What is sanctification. That's a big word. Now, I realize that people don't really understand some of our terminology. But what we need to do is explain what our terminology is. What is sanctification? Well, sanctification is from the Latin word sanctus facio. Sanctus means holy or consecrated, and facio or facto means something that is happening or has happened. So really, there's my scripture. Holy happening. Something holy that has happened. To them that receive Him, to them gave He the power to become. Something holy has happened. Say amen tonight. And let me give you some more definitions. So what is sanctification? Articles of our faith, the IPHC manual. We believe in sanctification. And I wish they'd add in there, and we should preach sanctification. While sanctification is initiated in regeneration and consummated in glorification, we believe that it includes a definite, somebody say definite, instantaneous work of grace achieved by faith subsequent to regeneration. It delivers from the power and dominion of sin, and it is followed by lifelong growth in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we believe as the International Pentecostal Holiness Church. And if you sit on, and if you come before the examining committee and you want to have credentials in this conference, I'm just one, but there's eight others, but one of eight is going to ask you some questions. What do you believe about sanctification? Can you describe sanctification? Were you sanctified? And my last question is this. Will you preach it? Because if you're not going to preach it, I'm not voting for you to have a license in this conference. I love you. God bless you. You say, well, Billy Graham might not have done that. Well, I'm not licensing Billy Graham. Thank God for Billy Graham. Thank God for salvation. But praise God, we got to have something beyond. We got to have preachers that'll preach it. Deacons that will deacon. Royal Ranger commanders that will explain it. We've got to tell this generation why and what we believe. I wish somebody would say amen. 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 Sanctification Jim Forehan said this, is for the born-again believer, offering cleansing from the very bent and power of sin and freeing him from the bent so he can grow naturally in the will of God. Amen. My words, sanctification is an experience whereby the sin nature, and I'm going to explain that a little bit later, is rendered powerless in the life of a born-again believer. That sounds good to me. That sounds like I can handle those problems. Amen? And the thing is, without it, what would happen? Now, Donald Gray Barnhouse, who is not a Wesleyan, he is a Calvinist, Presbyterian, but a great man. I've got 4 volumes of the Book of Romans from Donald Gray Barnhouse, and the chapter, his commentary on chapter 8 is worth the 4 books on Romans. I mean, he just was an amazing preacher, and he wrote something about sanctification that I thought, ooh, my brother Barnhouse, you might be Calvinist and you might be Presbyterian, but you preaching some good holiness stuff here. And he said this, now the Lord brought us to the next step upward. Next step upward? If we are to step up and stand upon the next thread of spiritual progress, we must realize we cannot do it by our own power. We must be lifted again to the point where we shall go forward on to the upward path of moment by moment triumph in the sanctification which God has. I don't know of any Pentecostal I've ever heard explain the crisis and the definite experience of sanctification. He said it was the next step. Somebody say the next step. Sound like to me, second definite. Amen. And we can't do it in our own power. It is through His. And we must be lifted to a point where we go forward. And then He says to moment by moment. There's not only your experience, but there's your moment by moment. Every day I'm being sanctified. I was sanctified at 14, but I got sanctified again this morning about 8:30 when I bowed my head in prayer and said, oh God, I need you for this day. And He sanctified me moment by moment. Every step of the way, somebody say amen. Sanctification is simply the power to become the sons and daughters of God. That is what sanctification is. Point 2, why be sanctified? You see, what happens when we receive Him? We get saved. It is in that moment God gloriously forgives us of our past sins. Say amen. He gloriously forgives. All sins are forgiven. He told the woman who was being, you know, they were going to throw stones at her. He said, go and sin no more. He told others, your sins be forgiven thee. God delights in wiping away sins. But remember and understand, why do people sin to start with? It is because they have something in them. And it reminds me of the Titanic. The HMS Titanic, 1912. And about 12:14 a.m., they hit it. And for a while, they thought everything was fine. Until they began to realize that there was a problem way down deep. You initially couldn't see it. You really couldn't feel it. Somebody in their bed flipped over and said nothing to it, but there was something to it. And the problem with us is down deep. We commit sins because down deep we have all been wrecked on the iceberg of sin. And that is Adam. We can thank God. Adam. Now, I want to tell you something. People say, yeah, not that Adam. But we can thank Adam in the garden, not Adam from Bailey. Amen. Adam from Bailey is doing quite all right. Can you get an amen out there? But please know that people say, well, we're all children of God. Have you ever heard that nonsense? You mean to tell me Osama bin Laden is a child of God? You mean to tell me Jeffrey Dahmer, who did terrible things several years ago, was a child of God? Now, he might have got saved and became a child of God because God can save even the most heinous of sinners. But I'm here to tell you, we are not all children of God. Even Jesus looked at one time and said, "You're of your father, the devil." Well, what do you mean, Pastor? Quite simply this, we're all children of Adam. Do you remember the show in the 60s? It was a black and white show called the Addams Family. You remember that? Da-da-dum-dum. Da-da-dum-dum. Let me tell you something, folks. You remember Addams Family with some creatures and the Thing and Lurch and all of that? Well, let me tell you something. We're not all children of God. We're children of Adam, which makes us all part of the Addams Family. Let me tell you something. We had inherited something from our father Adam. Now, Pastor talked about his granddaughter this morning. I'm going to talk about my wife tonight, okay? There's a picture of her when she's about 6 years old. And she is in mad as fire in that picture. She is standing there with a little Easter outfit on, a little church dress, and she's got a little pocketbook or something. And she's sitting there about to kill somebody. And somebody snapped a picture of her. And you know what that is? That's Eve coming out of her. It's Adam and Eve. Amen. I'm telling you. What is she so upset about? You see, we were born in sin. We were born with inherited sin. And because of the sin nature, it creates in us the desire and the will to naturally sin. You do not have to teach a child to do right or to do wrong. They will automatically steal. I was 5 years old and I went to White's Supermarket in Rocky Mount on Raleigh Road. White Supermarket. And when I was 5 years old, he had those little gummy things. And I picked up a bunch of them and stuffed them in my pocket and stole when I was 5 years old. Nobody told me to do it. I wanted it and I knew I wasn't supposed to do it. And I did it and enjoyed every last one of them. My sister, I'm going to talk about her too. She's watching tonight. We were in the new JCPenney Mall, Golden East Crossing. It's not new now, but I remember when it was built. And JCPenney hadn't been open long. And we walked through there. And when we got out to the car, my sister had picked up a handful of rings that was on the counter. She picked them up and put them. And me and my mother both like they had a heart attack. We knew we were going to jail. And we walked back into the store and told somebody. And they took us to the store manager. We went into the office, sat down in these big chairs, and a man walked in behind the desk and said, "What's the problem?" And mother put out all those rings, and I'm going to tell you, he didn't look like he was too happy about it. I knew we were getting arrested any moment now. Thank God the manager gave us, my mother said, "Look, I don't know who had her. I don't know whose kid she is." But I don't think me nor mother, we would have just left her in that office and I think we'd have been done with her, you know. But let me tell you, she was so young, but we have in us a sin nature. We are sinners by birth and we're sinners by choice. And so what happens? When we get saved, God forgives our sins, but there remains in us that inherited sin nature. Now you say, "Now, Brother Ricky, I thought when we got saved, praise God, all things become new and blah, 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 blah." And that is what the scripture says in another place. But how many of you understand you have to interpret the whole Bible? You have to understand all of what the Bible teaches. And you can't take one verse and build a doctrine on it. That fits when you understand the other. In fact, the Bible is its best interpreter. Amen. Interpret scripture with other scripture. And don't take one scripture out of context. Can I get a witness out there? Because, and Paul said this, we know that Paul was saved. He was saved on the Damascus Road. Are y'all still awake out there? He was saved, and in Romans chapter 7, he said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. An unsaved person does not delight in the law of God. If you are a sinner, you don't want the law of God. You don't delight in it. You go away from it. You shy from it. You don't want to hear preaching. No, you don't want to read scripture because you love your sins. So we know he was truly converted. But look what he said in Romans chapter 7. In verse 21, he said, and Pastor read this morning, I find then a law that when I would do good, what? For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Really? But I see another law in my members, talking about his body, warring against the law of my mind. In other words, in my mind and in my heart, I'm saved. But I've got a body. I've got eyes that see things that trouble me. I've got habits that I was a part of that want to continue, even though on the inside I know I'm saved. Now I'm just preaching some stuff that we need to preach more of. Can I get a witness? He said, it brings into me captivity the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He's talking about the Adamic nature, the sin nature. He said, I've received Christ, but not only do I need my sins forgiven, I need the power to become the person that he wants me to be. And it only happens through this thing we call the second work. To them that receive him, praise God, move on. To them, he will give you the power to become the fully the sons of God. Can I get an amen tonight? Let me explain it to you this way. This is a true story about a missionary that he heard overseas in the country of Haiti. He told of a certain man who wanted to sell his house for $2,000. Another man badly wanted it, but couldn't afford the full price. So after much haggling, the owner agreed to sell the house for half the asking price with just one stipulation. He said, I'll sell you the house for half, but there's a nail above the door, and I will retain ownership of that nail, that one small nail protruding from the door. He said, you can have the house, but I still own the nail. And got it legally done. This was in a foreign country. This is not America. And it was a valid sale. So the new owner owned the whole house, but one nail. And guess what happened? The old owner decided he wanted his house back. So, he went to the new owner and said, I want my house back. Guess what the new owner said? He said, no, I'm not going to sell you the house back. I like it. And he kept trying. And he kept trying to get his house back. And so finally he thought, well, here's what I'm going to do. I own that one nail. So he went and he hung up a dead carcass of an animal on the front door off that nail. And he kept doing it and he kept doing it. And there's nothing the law could do because he owned that one nail. Are y'all with me here tonight? So finally, the new owner said, you can have it. And my friend, that's a true story, but that's exactly what happens. We're under a new house, but there's that nail called the old nature. And that old devil wants our house back. And he don't like the fact that you come to church. He don't want you to come to church. He's going to stop you from coming to church. He don't want you reading that Bible. And so he'll hang on that old sin nature, thoughts and sin and habits and temptation. Well, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, what sanctification does. Come on down to the altar tonight, because God wants to pull out that old nail. And that way it won't be so easy for the devil to hang those temptations. I didn't say it's impossible, but it won't be as easy. And God will take out that old sin nature, and it will be rendered dead and powerless and useless. And you can become the sons of God. Sanctified, holy, that nail has been taken out. Somebody give him praise in this house tonight. Oh, if we're going to listen, if we're going to be a church of power in these last days, if we're going to say to the alcoholic, we have the answer. If we're going to say to the drug addict, you can be free. If we're going to tell the prostitute that she can be holy, let me tell you how it can happen. Yes, be saved. But brother and sister, where we've got it and others may forfeit it, we should proclaim it loud. You can have that old nail removed. God can do something to that sin nature, and you can live victoriously in Christ Jesus. That's why we should be sanctified. Can somebody say amen? Number one, what is sanctification? Number two, why be sanctified? Number three, who provides this experience? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Jesus suffered without the gate. His dying brought justification. His suffering brought sanctification. And because he suffered for us, we can be sanctified. He provided it. He prayed for it. John 17 and 17. One of the prayers that Jesus prayed before he died and suffered without the gate, he said, "Oh God, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Jesus provided your sanctification. Jesus is praying for your sanctification. He doesn't want you to have that nail where the devil can hang those habits and those problems and those issues. He wants you to be free. He whom the Son makes free is free indeed. By the way, it says makes free, not sets free. Sets free is when a dog is set loose and has been in captivity. You set him free. But made free is when you start all over again and it was as if he never was in captivity. Made free. He said, "I make that potter, I do it all over again." So that's called being born again, sanctified. Amen. And it reminds me of, and I'll bring this to a close in just about 40 minutes, if you don't mind. I just want to see how many were sanctified over that. And I will say this in all seriousness. I heard a minister who, he is 2 years younger than me. He and I came up through Falcon Camp meeting together. He's very brilliant. Pastors a large church. And we were down in Falcon. He's a friend of mine. And he said something. And I know exactly what he's talking about. He said when he was growing up, those who talked about sanctification the most possessed it the least. The ones who talked about holiness were the church gossips and the church gripes and ran the preacher away. Now, this is the man talking. And it's so sad that my generation, we have thrown the baby out with the bathwater. In fact, how many times when I was growing up, some of these self-righteous, judgmental, run everybody out of the church, run the preacher down, they would quote their favorite scripture was, "Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And we're going to keep the standard. And we're going to this. And we're not going to tolerate that. And this, that, and the other." And don't get me wrong. We should stand for righteousness. We should stand for holiness. But what they were trying to stand for was not righteousness and holiness. They were trying to stand for their own agenda. And it took me years, Brother Philip. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. They quoted that. Until one day, I read that scripture. What? That's not the whole scripture. There's a first part to that. It says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." You're not going to be a church gossip and bring division and run the preacher down and run your brothers and sisters off. You're not going to be trying to have your own agenda and say your holiness, because if you don't follow peace with all men, I doubt seriously that you, I think you still got an old nail in there that the devil's hanging some stuff on. Brother, a sanctified person will love you. A sanctified person will bless you. A sanctified person will forgive you.
A sanctified person won't be bitter and offended. A sanctified person will love the preacher and the first lady. A sanctified person will love his enemies and those that persecute them. A sanctified person will show up for prayer and say, let's have a move of God. A sanctified person isn't going to gossip. A sanctified person is going to shout and run the aisles and have victory. Well, my God, I'm about to shout. I want you to know we need to be sanctified tonight. Come on, lift your hand up. Follow peace in all men. A sanctified person ain't going to hold their tithes because they don't like what's going on. A sanctified person ain't going to put stuff on Facebook that shouldn't be put up. Pictures they shouldn't be making. Comments they shouldn't make. Amen. I ain't talking about in our church. I'm talking about I've been pastor 5 churches. All of us. I was pastoring in Bethel. I'll just go ahead and say Bethel. Don't tell them I said it. But I had a man in that church. And he wanted his way. He was a good man. Had a lot of giftings. But brother, if he didn't get his way, he'd go to Facebook. Well, I don't know why that church does this. And I don't know why people think that. So I talked to him privately. I said, brother, you're a man of God. Teenagers see your posts. You're a youth leader. You don't need to put stuff like that on Facebook. The Bible says go privately. And he listened to me. But he kept right on doing it. Until finally one night, I had exhausted all possibilities. I had prayed. I had counseled. And he put something up there. And so here's when action took place. The man of God sometimes has to take action. I got right under his post and I said, my brother, I am your pastor, and I encourage you to delete that very childish post. That is not what you should do. You're bringing discord into the church. You say, Brother Ricky, were you being... No, I wasn't being childish. I was being the man of God, telling him publicly what I'd already told him privately. The Bible says if they don't hear you privately, and they don't hear 2 or 3, then tell the world. Because I wanted somebody to know that as his pastor, we did not tolerate that kind of discord. And I had to do it. Well, do y'all love me or not? I don't know. Let me pray. sanctified people will take counsel and wisdom and correction. Amen. I was at Smyrna. And a lady had joined the church. One of the members I took in. And I looked on Facebook, and she was there. She had just lost 25 pounds, and she posed in a 2-piece string bikini. I couldn't reach her. I didn't have her number. And I knew the longer it stayed up, the more trouble the whole church was going to... They were going to be mad at me, I'm sure. So I sent her a not very nice message. I mean, it had so much sugar. I said, sister, praise God for your weight loss. I know what it's like to have to struggle with weight. You are a great person. You love God. I have just a nice suggestion to give to you. We have a lot of people in our church that I counsel with that struggle with, and I just said the word lust. And even though you don't mean it that way, some of our young people could see that. And, you know, we don't want to do anything that would cause somebody to stumble. And I have full faith in you. You're in good standing. But I really encourage you to take the post down. Thank God she did. Hallelujah. Sanctified people are going to walk right. Amen. They're not going to flash and show and, oh, come on now. And flare up. Get an attitude. If I don't get a chance to sing or whatever. Let me tell you something, brother. Sanctified people realize it's God that works on the inside. He gives us breath. If he wants me to preach, I'll preach. I don't have to go around begging nobody to preach or to sing or to play. Praise God. If God opens a door, brother Adam, don't go begging people. If God will open the door, brother, and I'll tell you something right now. I went 9 months and I didn't have a pulpit. I didn't have a revival. I didn't. When I resigned my church, I didn't know where I was going to go. But I tell you, in 9 months, I missed 3 Sundays. I was somewhere preaching because God had His hand on my life, and God will open the doors that no man can shut. Now I done gone to meddling tonight. That's what's happened. I was doing so good, Philip. So good. I was right on script until I got diverged with some sanctified preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. And I tell you something else. Sanctified people will love you when you mess up. Amen. Old D.L. Moody, he said he was at the zoo. And Brother Adam, if you'll come on, I got to quit somewhere. I'm getting way too much trouble tonight. And Brother Baker, before you publish that video, I might need to edit a few of those comments. Amen. I know the live stream got it, but people do look at it later. And I'll let you know when to start, okay? But who provides sanctification? His name is Jesus. And D.L. Moody went to the zoo and saw a man. Here it is. He saw a man beat his dog at the zoo because the dog wouldn't obey him. And he had actually made a bet and boasted that this dog was obedient. But yet when he tried to get the dog to do something, the dog wouldn't do it. And he lost the bet. And that owner got so mad at the dog, he beat him and beat him mercilessly. D.L. Moody, the preacher, was watching this. I mean, just beat the life almost out of that dog. And you know how a poor, pitiful dog is screeching and crying. And when the man got through, the dog was shivering. And the dog was whimpering. And the man took that pitiful dog and threw him over the cage in with the lion. So mad at that dog. And everybody was watching. And there that dog was shivering and bleeding and wounded. And there was that lion. And everybody was just about, And the lion walked over to that dog and everybody knew that dog was about to get eat. But something strange happened. The lion started licking the dog's wounds. I hate to do that graphically, but you know. And then the lion curled up and warmed the dog and licked the dog, rubbed the dog, snuggled to the dog. Everybody was amazed. They thought for sure that lion was going to kill that dog. Well, the guy that owned the dog finally felt sorry for that he had beat the dog. He finally felt sorry. So he told the guy at the gate, he said, "I think I want my dog back. I shouldn't have beat him so bad. I feel sorry for him now." Well, the man at the gate was pretty upset at the guy that beat the dog. He said, "I tell you what, I'll give you your dog back. You go in and get him." That's me, and that's you. The wounds of sin, years I spent in vanity and pride. The sins that have scarred me and the bleeding of a life of licentiousness and far away from God. When you take drugs, you hurt your own body. When you are promiscuous and so-called sexually freedom, you find diseases that never can be cured. And we're all beaten. I don't care how, if you were raised in church, we're all that little dog. And we're thrown away. But the lion of the tribe of Judah said, "I'll take you. And I'll lick the wounds. And I'll make what's wrong right. And to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sanctified, set apart sons of God." Give him a hand of praise here tonight. I urge you tonight, if you've been saved, do not rob yourself.
come to the, you say, well, how do I get sanctified? That's my last point. How do I get sanctified? You get sanctified by the blood. Jesus might sanctify the people with his own blood. You get sanctified by the word of God. God's word that is a sharp two-edged sword. It's coming to you tonight. And then you get sanctified by faith. It says that he purifies or sanctifies our hearts by faith. That's Acts 15 and verse 9. There is the crisis experience. There is the one nail being taken out, and then there's the lifelong growth where every day you get closer to God. You deny worldly lust and all ungodliness, looking for that blessed hope. You sanctify yourself. Listen, I'm talking about the work that God does right now. You come to the altar, he'll do it right now. But I'm also telling you that there's choices you have to make. You have to be careful. Eyes, what you see. Ears, what you hear. You have to be careful. You have to sanctify yourself through the grave. Would you stand with me tonight? And I believe the lion is licking us in our wounds. I believe he is the sanctifier. I believe he is the Lord. I am the Lord God that sanctifies you. Oh God, we just thank you, Lord, for that precious, precious experience. And God, we've not been too close to you that we all don't need to be sanctified again tonight. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And if you've never been sanctified, if you've never been saved, why don't you ask Jesus into your heart tonight? Number two, if you've never been sanctified, ask him to pull the nail out tonight. If you really want to live as a vessel of honor, you don't have to go bound by porn and bound by drugs. I believe God wants to fully, completely sanctify you tonight. And let me add one more altar call. You may have served God for many, many, many years like myself. I've served him since 1984. Think of that, 1984. I asked Jesus into my heart in 1985. He sanctified me and filled me with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of tongues. We're going to talk about that next Sunday. But I'm here to tell you, after 30 years of serving the Lord, I still need to be sanctified tonight. Sometimes I get disturbed. Sometimes I get offended. Sometimes I don't think like I should, and I struggle. Even in this hour. But thanks be to God that he licks the wounds. Would you join me in prayer tonight? Would you step out of your seat? Find an altar tonight and let God just sanctify. Let him lick those wounds tonight. Come on, step out of your seat tonight. Let's pray individually. Oh, we bless you tonight, Lord. We praise you tonight, God. We are receiving the power to become. The power to become. Sanctify me tonight. Sanctify me, Lord. Oh God, help us tonight. Amen. We exalt thee. Oh, we exalt thee. We exalt thee. It's not in our power. Oh Lord, not in our self-righteousness. We need him, Lord. We need it, Lord. I exalt thee. Come on. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Preachers, preach sanctification. Royal Ranger teachers, teach sanctification. Girls ministry, tell our young ladies of purity, of chastity, of holiness. God, give us a holiness revival. Not rules and regulations, not legalism, not criticism, but a pure heart, a holy heart. Oh God, Lord, that we will serve you as a sanctified people, A sanctified people are a joyful people. A sanctified people are a humble people. A sanctified people are a forgiving people. Sanctified people are on fire for God. Oh God, sanctify us, holy Lord. Lord, you said you're coming back for a sanctified, pure, holy bride. And it's never in our righteousness. Thank you, God, that you lick the wounds. Thank you, God, that you take the nail out. Thank you, God, for power tonight. Somebody lift your hand. After sanctification, there's power to become the sons of God. Oh, God, help us tonight, Lord, when we face our job tomorrow, Lord. Let us remember we're sanctified. Oh, God, in the office, in the break room. Oh, God, sanctifying people are praying people, God. Lord, we bless you tonight. We praise you tonight. Oh, we praise you, oh Lord. We praise you, oh Lord. Somebody say, it's His power, not my power. Say it. It's His power, not my power. It's that great Lion of Judah that licks the wounds, that brings the balm of Gilead, that suffered without the gate, that we could live. I tell you something else, a sanctified people is a worshiping people. Oh my goodness, lift up holy hands unto God and praise the Lord that I am a son and daughter of God. I exalt Thee. Everybody sing it tonight. Oh, I exalt. We exalt You, Lord. We exalt You. God Almighty.